Andrews here. This is your host, William Brodster, and we've got quite a bit of a show. First of all, I'd like to address the fact that, of course, we have been absent for a little bit. There was some technical... Naturally. Of course it was. And we had to do some restructuring and everything else like that. But, however, we do have, again, as I said, a wonderful lineup. It is Amazon and their HQ2 search. That's rather interesting. And, of course, discussing the intricacies of that. We're going to revisit Death and Taxes. That's fun, I suppose, given the name. And, of course, looking at Trump and this announcement of JFK document releases. That's a bit strange. And, of course, we're going to talk about Harvey Weinstein. Because that's something that means a lot for a variety of reasons to society. And, of course, we're going to leave that as our flagship and our send-off. So, of course, we're going to have our usual cadre of correspondents. Mark Frazier.
Hi there.
We've got Molly.
Yes.
And Boris. Boris? I'm right here. Right, you're supposed to say, move on. Anyway. And joining us, actually, outside of the soundstage, it seems like it went rather well last time, is, of course, Mel Finkelberg, our producer. Mel?
How you doing today?
There he is. So, to move into it, Amazon HQ2, for those of you who are unaware, apparently Amazon is looking for a second global headquarters here in the United States, and they're looking to move away from Silicon Valley for a variety of reasons, things such as, you know, not trying to centralize in one location, to move certain operations to a more suitable location as they continue to advance the company further. And it, naturally, it's probably rather difficult to purchase real estate in California, to be honest with ourselves, right?
Yeah, I just couldn't imagine living that hard tax. But,
Mark, I'm not done introducing the subject. Point is, what are the implications of this? I mean, we've seen it time and again with sports stadiums and everything else like that, but cities are literally whoring themselves out to get this second HQ. And what does that look like? Mel, any thoughts first, since you are the most recent guest to this wonderful menagerie we have here?
Well, thank you for having me on my show.
It's my show. My name's on it.
I think it's hilarious how cities can fight about this. If you remember a little while ago, actually, in North Carolina, we had that issue with the HB2 bill, and PayPal was going to have a center put in Charlotte, I believe. And for those of who don't know, the HB2 bill was about like transgender bathrooms or some shit like that.
Right, so Amazon.
Yeah. But going, yeah. But I'm just saying, like, fuck.
Well, thanks, Mel. 15 seconds of fame there. Anybody else?
Well, so like, what I'll say first is, I think it's great that a company wants to do as it pleases in this wonderful country, and that, of course, Amazon would like to move its services outside of California, because, let's be honest, that liberal bastion of hellacious behavior and regulation and overtaxation, I mean, that is just absurd. Listen, California has a wonderful business. I'm not done speaking, sweetheart. Point is, when you look at it, Amazon's probably going to pick a place like North Carolina. HB2 or otherwise, as Mr. Finkelberg, and between you and me, I think that was a bit rude, what he did there. But, Mike, thank you for that input. We're going to move on to Molly.
Well, I'm not quite sure what's going on here. But, Mel, could you please explain HB2 more? I think that'll behoove the audience.
Well, that's not...
HB2 wasn't the point at all, what I was saying there. What I was going with was that PayPal denied their movement to there because of that, because of the non-passing of that bill. And that's the point I was trying to make. Let's stay out of that territory, because we don't want to get there, Molly. Trust me on that.
What's wrong with talking about the implications of...
Molly, I'm actually going to agree with Mel. Yeah, exactly. That's a can of worms we're not willing to open. We open enough. We actually have court... Anyway.
I'll bring out the cans. I'll be right back.
Please... Oh, that's funny, Mel. Jesus, you think he's like one new David Sheffield. Molly, what do you think about the whole damn thing?
Well, I mean, I think that it's kind of sick, actually, to see that there are cities going well out of their way to provide tax incentives to a company that will probably not produce that amount of economic output. I understand. Amazon, high-paying jobs, global headquarters. There's a lot of subsidiary businesses and secondary businesses that will, you know, come to inhabit this area. It's very important, and it probably is a driving force for all of this sort of thing. But in reality, if you give a company, let's say, a couple billion dollars worth of tax incentives like New Jersey, how much money are they truly bringing in business to the state? You know, Amazon doesn't get tax sales tax depending on what state you live in and what services that they sell. These are corporate jobs, so it doesn't go in line directly with their sales and marketing. And so you kind of have to wonder. I mean, sure, they're going to buy high-end groceries at Whole Foods. But besides that, what on earth are they actually going to be doing for the economy, the people who are moving here? And there's not that many jobs for a global headquarters. I mean, when I say not that many, I mean in comparison to $5 billion in the New Jersey example. Well, that's actually a rather good point. You know, is it really worth it for American cities to bid like this? Should it not just be that Amazon picks a place that it would like to move to, and those cities can actually keep full revenue? Well, I'd like to address something, and that is that these different cities, there are multiple places with which Amazon can go to, and more importantly, there are lots of places with which Amazon can use their tremendous amount of capital to just go ahead and improve the way they'd like to. I think what Amazon is looking for is to see what sort of places are willing to put themselves on the map and really draw their attention. I mean, you know, it's not like every city in the country's doing it, because obviously that would just be weird. Not every city is well equipped to handle a tech-infused type of company like Amazon. I think really your point is a bit mundane. Honestly, Mike, it doesn't make sense. Molly makes an excellent point. Why on earth would subsidies be going out to these people? And they don't really provide much in return over the long term. I mean, maybe in 20 years you make up that $5 billion investment in tax breaks. But, I mean, can you give anything to that? Well, like I said, like she said, there are secondary and there are subsidiary businesses that attach to that. And I think we need to be quite frank. Cities are not looking to develop low-income areas with more low-income housing. They are looking to develop areas with higher incomes and middle-income assets. And so if you have CEOs come in an area and they make six figures, do you not think that the subsidiary and secondary businesses will be middle-class type jobs supporting those people? I mean, it's one of the things you got to think about. And even if it's retail, these are jobs for people to be able to make, let's say, $14 an hour. And that's better than working at Walmart, you know, and the city's looking at that too. Well, that's actually a bit more of an interesting point. Boris, you've been quiet. Anything you'd like to add here?
I don't actually understand this whole bidding process. I get American way of doing this, but in Soviet Union, of course, you know, back in the day, as a young man, Stalin would point at something. Did you just say Stalin? Listen, Stalin would point at something and factory appears there. And if he snap his fingers, it would go from making cars to making artillery, to making planes, back to cars. And then maybe boats. He liked boats. But the point is, this is how things work there. In very much of Europe, there is lots of central planning, not dictating, but in helping to establish. There is free market economy as well, but there is not the same level bidding. You know, people and places move where it makes sense. A company needs access to certain resources. They will not go to town that gives them a $100 million tax incentive. They will go to town that is right next to a resource they need. It's a bit different than the American system. But the reason is because of your vast subsidy network and your very big infrastructure and
honestly, the fact that your government spends or loses more money each year to make sure that companies make more money each year. It doesn't matter where company build headquarters. Amazon could build its own HQ city, and it would not mean anything. Well, that's another interesting take on it. Mel, you know, we haven't heard from you in a bit. And, you know, you're rudely cut off by the other correspondents, of course. So, anything?
Oh, yeah, actually, comment? I've been doing my producer job and looking up some of the articles surrounding this.
Producer job.
Yeah, it's a real rough one.
Is it?
So there's actually one of the top trending articles is talking about the most likely cities that will end up, you know, winning the bidding, which, like, it's crazy to think, like Boris was saying, like how important this is to us right now. Like in America, we really, really want to our city to get it, right? So going back to the North Carolina thing, I mean, North Carolina, there's an article talking about, hey, Charlotte's gonna get it. Why does it matter that much when it should be more of a utilitarian kind of ideal, which is just, let's go where the resources take us.
So if I get you straight, you're agreeing with the strange Soviet analyst thing that we have here.
I'm with Boris on this one. I know it's
no, strange, no. I just, but... yeah. Well, that's just absurd. I mean, I just want to say. I mean, I like Boris. He's a nice guy. And I mean, kudos to you. I couldn't learn another language, and I moved to another country. In many countries, you would probably be killed for your lifestyle choices. Listen, of course, being a Christian minister, that is not the. Just leave it, yeah, Boris. Let him move on there. But, and you just let him have his fucking dream. So, I'm not really quite sure what that was all about, but the point is that utilitarian or not, you know, in our country, you know, it's not necessarily that might is right, but if you have the money, you have the resources, and you have the ability to market yourself, you might as well. I mean, you might get something in the end for it.
That's actually what's wrong with the whole society, is that in capitalism, you don't actually get more influence because of how much influence you should have in a situation as a stakeholder. You get more influence because you have more... Listen, I don't even want to hear about this whole cap... We're just talking about a damn HQ for a company. This happens all the time. Nobody cries boo when the city issues bonds for a sports stadium, because everybody's going to watch their football. I mean, everybody's going to watch their football. So all of a sudden, a company wants to put out real jobs, and everyone goes and loses their head. I mean, it don't make no sense to me. Well, that... Moving on then. So it appears we essentially have, you know, Mel and Boris talking about utilitarianism, Molly trashing the entire perspective for good reason, generally assuming that the economic costs to each city is really not worth the benefits. And Mark over here is, of course, taking the predictable view that any business is good business, and good business is good America. So there we are. Moving on to death and taxes, it's a bit of a small segment, but we just want to revisit, you know, healthcare, taxes, see where it's going, its lack of going anywhere, anything else like that. Mel, seeing as you had not really had an opportunity to sort of kick in, do you have anything to say about the healthcare bill, tax bill, just in general, anything else like that?
I don't think
Oh, actually, I apologize. We should potentially... take a bit of a break here before we move into the segment. Molly looks like she's about to lose it. And, you know, potentially give some room for some corporate sponsors, of course. So we'll be right back with Death and Taxes in just a jiff.
Are you sick and tired of your old lady nagging you till the cows come home? Do you drive a dually 2.5-liter turbo diesel Chevy? Well, we've got news for you. You just might need to drink less whiskey. We don't mean in quantity, We certainly don't mean in quality. Less whiskey. Cornbread, just like you. And built in a southern tradition and stocked for 5 years in a wooden barrel. Less whiskey. Less is always more.
Well, and thank you to our sponsors, and we're back. Again, Death and Taxes is the name of the game for this segment. And, of course, we've got our same correspondents. And we just want to revisit a little bit as to where we think healthcare is, where it's going, and, of course, taxes as well. So feel free to...
Well, I just want to say that I think that nothing has happened, and I think it's rather telling of the Trump administration, and I think it's more telling, of course, of the GOP-controlled Congress. I understand. I see you over there chopping at the bit, as you said to myself there, Mike, last week. But... of course, Trump can't make the rules. He can't make all the laws. But not much has happened, except, of course, that Trump is attempting through executive fiat to do a number of things, whether it's ending certain Obamacare protections, certain royalties and payments, and so on and so forth that would help subsidize insurance plans. Nothing is happening, and I think that that proves to Americans that the Republican Party is not the party meant to lead. They're simply the party meant to complain and to obstruct. Well, that's just absolutely wrong. The thing is that people don't understand the Republican Party is not just made up by one big monolithic conspiracy, just like the Democratic Party is. We don't use identity politics to get people... Excuse me, you don't use identity politics? Conservatism and small government is the biggest identity in the Republican Party, and y'all can't even agree on any of that. Well, despite your strategic use of y'all, I don't think you quite understand. The point is that the Republican Party has never been under one flag. Only Ronald Reagan managed to get us all together. And we have people who are super conservative, such as myself. And we have people who are not so conservative. They're called rhinos, like John McCain and Paul Ryan. Of course, John McCain is celebrated by the Democrats because he's a traitor to conservative evangelicals such as myself. But the point is just simply, the reason why nothing's happened is because we haven't found a real solution. So unlike the Obama administration where we said, oop, we got to put points on the board. Here, real quick, let's tack everything up. We're trying to make a lasting good impact and to remove government from healthcare. Because even before Obamacare, there was government and healthcare. Well, I think it is actually... just simply chaos. And the reason why is because same reason every other issue is chaos. Republicans agree a country's infrastructure is not good. Democrats agree infrastructure is not good. No bill. Everyone agrees that a tax deficit and debt is very important. No bill. Your politics is messed up. And it is not because of things like gerrymandering. Does not help, of course. It is just because your country does not know where it wants to go, and it does not understand the amount of money that it creates every year and how much it spends. Well, I agree about the spending part and the creating part. I mean, it's just ridiculous. We waste a lot of money on a bunch of stupid stuff. And what do you think is stupid?
Can we please just maybe refrain from farting here? It's not the point. We just wanted to recap where you think we were. You mentioned some executive orders. The rest of you, any comments or questions on the executive orders?
I got one for you.
Sure, Mel. Shoot.
What if the reason that, you know, nothing has elaborated on this is it's simply because he's got a fuck ton of other shit going on? I think the biggest issue right now might be gun control after the Las Vegas shooting. There's a lot of things distracting from that, you know, specific issue. What do you think about that?
Well, anyone?
Well, I think that gun control is a necessary issue, but it's something that only came into being as a result of... you just think that gun control, first of all, is always an issue here.
Can you please, Mark, just let her finish just a little bit?
Thank you. It's become pertinent, not always pertinent, and again, I think that the rest of it, the only reason why gun control is like taking the spotlight is because, of course, of the tragedy, but no movement has been made on either end. Either end. There's a lot of other things that needs to be addressed. But, of course, I'm not going to give Trump a pass, and no one should. This, he said, would happen very quickly, and it is not. Well, like I said, you're obviously pro-gun control anyway. You're using this as a way to milk your moment. And, of course, the moment you milk your moment, you're going to move on to the next moment that you're going to milk. That's the whole point of politics. And I'm not going to say that people like Paul Ryan didn't do the same damn thing. But, I mean, gosh darn. It's not like, you know, the man isn't running the entire country. You know, Puerto Rico is still being dealt with. So is the Virgin Islands. Houston and Florida are not repaired miraculously overnight, as if that could ever happen under any administration. And I'll be quite frank with you. I mean, taxes are important to me, and I think he should get it done strategically, because that's why people voted him in, is because they feel like they're not getting a fair shake. But these other issues are also things he has to address.
Well, I will just give my 2 cents, and it will be very short. Is literally just, your people are distracted so easily by everything all the time. There are things people agree with almost unanimously, majority-wise, never gets passed. Very interesting for me. I am not making statements as to how it is that this is not happening or why. You can fill in blank yourself. I mean, if someone comes to you a big bag of money, I know what I am doing. But point is, you figure out for yourself where your mismatch of political interest and social interest is. To build on that just a little bit, Boris, what about then your country?
Oh, my country is very messed up. It is very totalitarian, and we accept this. We understand, and no one really denies this. No one in Russia really believes that Putin is not a dictator. He is not dictator in title, but in function, he does what he would like, as long as he keeps Russian people happy. So, if you are asking me to maybe not be hypocrite, I am not being hypocrite. I am simply saying that your country pretends to be very loyal and very loving of freedom and stuff, but at end of day, what means more, money or your support? In person. Ask yourself that question. I don't have to answer for you. Right then. We'll take another slight commercial break to get into the next subject. Another quick one. And it's going to be about Trump, JFK's document release. And again, I'm a bit speechless, really, as the way this panned out. But of course, we will come back to death and taxes periodically. And again, here's our commercial break.
Do you hear that noise? No. It's not your old lady bleeding like a doe that you just nailed center mass. It certainly isn't a 10-point buck that you just spotted along the ridgeline. That's the sound of less whiskey pouring, roaring over a glacious amount of ice in your glass at the end of a hard day of work. Remember, less is always more.
And thank you again for our wonderful corporate sponsors. Next up, we're going to talk a bit vaguely about Trump and the idea of releasing the JFK documents. It's not as much specifically about what he is doing insofar as all this, but we'd like to examine just a little bit about the idea of releasing the documents and what that might do, and really what his motivations just might be. under the table there. So, of course, we're gonna open it up to the room, except I would like to, of course, look to Boris first. Boris? Boris?
There is only one reason, and one reason only, you ask me this question.
What was that, Boris?
Because you think that being Russian, I have some weird understanding of why this happened. And I worked in KGB, so of course I have to understand exactly what went on, right?
It has absolutely nothing to do with it. It's just the one and only foreign relation.
There is only one reason, it's because I'm Russian. Let me tell you one thing. First of all, I don't know if your president was murdered by a Soviet spy or by your own people. At the end of the day, does it really matter the underlying motivations that much? You have a rising star, a politician, who has no ties to anybody except the people that he went after. He tried to cut the mob out. He told the unions to take back seat. These are people who were part of coalition in his political ideals. This is not even part of conspiracy theory. This is just simply saying, and he was also very anti-Soviet. And he made us very embarrassed back in the 60s when I was much younger. But the point is, at the end of the day, I mean, do you really think your government will release documents if there is conspiracy theory against your government? Even if it is Trump? Well, I guess I'll look to, it's not my country, but I guess I'll look to Molly and Mark. Well, I just think that, first of all, it's a good thing on him, in general, to basically just say that he's willing to be unorthodox. It goes right in line with what he's doing. I mean, he's not doing anything unusual. He's just trying to be, fly by the seat of his pants Trump. Well, don't you think that is the problem? Elaborate, please, Molly.
Well, I think the problem is that he's flying by the seat of his pants. I'm not saying that I want to withhold the documents. I really don't. I would like everything to be published, if it can be. But the point is that could this not be distracting from something else that he's doing? So everyone hangs on the idea that, like, JFK documents are being put out, but then all of a sudden, boom, there goes the EPA. Or boom, there goes the Public Works Administration. Or boom, do you think that that's what's happening, or are you just speculating? I think both. Well, I think that you're just downright wrong. We've all been wondering what's been going on with JFK, and it's rather upsetting. And I think that most people just look at it and they simply say that, well, good on you, Mr. Trump. We would all like a little bit more answers from our government. And I'm right with you, first of all, Molly, on the Freedom of Information Act and the idea of a less government control of information, because that makes us... We are not together on that. I am perfectly fine with saying that certain national security issues, as Obama himself demonstrated, are okay. But the idea that President Trump could potentially use this document dump or document release that has absolutely nothing to do with the situation going on with America right now. Right now, Americans are afraid of their government. And, for example, if someone like Trump were to be assassinated, would you not wonder if it was of some conspiracy? If Trump were assassinated, I wouldn't shed a tear. And I would for JFK. Well, that's just downright... We're not trying to sit here and advocate treason, Miss Poppycock. The point is just simply to ask what people are feeling as far as this document release is concerned. Well, again, I will say simply that I don't think it can hurt, unless, of course, they release unredacted information, which is not going to happen. Well, As far as I'm concerned, I think it's a distraction. A big distraction. The main distraction, really, from the rest of what's going on. I think they're going to try to revert back to your death and taxes thing as a sort of scapegoat for the document release. The GOP will pass a health care bill, and they're going to pass a tax bill that will make Americans hurt. And it's not going to go well. Well, that's just not optimistic. And again, I cannot agree with Molly for that. That is just outrageous. I mean, to think that people are going to simply use a distraction. I mean, not that they don't do that, but like, this is something that has actually occupied the American psyche for a bit of time. And if he's going to release a big old document dump that's heavily redacted, well, I think that we understand exactly where Mr. Trump stands as far as draining the swamp is concerned. Well, that sounds a bit, I don't know. That's very interesting. We're going to go into a commercial break for our next segment. We're going to talk about Harvey Weinstein, and of course, this is exactly what we're going to go into a commercial segment. It's going to be heavy, it'll be long, and it will likely be difficult.
The rivers are roaring. The winds are blowing. Hell, there might be a black bear in the woods getting ready to tear apart your family. But all of that pales in comparison to the enjoyment that you experience with less whiskey as you sit back and enjoy a heritage of oak charred barrels, Iowa corn raised whiskey. The only thought that crosses your mind is less is more.
So here we're back, and we're here to discuss a bit of a heavy subject. It'll be Harvey Weinstein, and really not as much Harvey as it is the implications, and again, not just for Hollywood. If I can just take a moment to break from my character as a moderator, I think that Harvey Weinstein and Hollywood are just scapegoats for the examples of what America is and could be, and the rest of the world are and could be. You know, it's something that I think is not just pervasive in this society. I do not like the idea that American exceptionalism just solely refers to the detriments of American society, and I say that as a non-American. However, the idea of sexual assault pervading things, harassment, and everything else that goes along with it, it's something that pervades all male-dominated societies. Not just because men themselves are at the wrong, but really because if any gender or sex is in charge of something, they will, of course, abuse the system to their own gains. So, with that being said, what are our correspondents' opinions on this sort of issue? Well, I think that it's just despicable. And I think more than anything, it's just indicative of the fact that there's a lot of hypocrisy going around. And people are not willing to address it. I think that it even goes beyond what has happened in the news media. And no one wants to investigate it because I think that more people are complicit than they would like to admit. Was that really you, Mark? Did you really say that? Well, it appears we're not really going to have much of a discussion, folks. But, you know, Molly, what do you have to say about that?
Well, I think that, I think that Mike is right. I can't even imagine saying that, but it is something that really is despicable, and it pervades American society, like you said, Will, and it goes far beyond Harvey Weinstein. There are lots of people, and as an avid Democrat, I don't think I'm pushing the limits of my support of the Democratic Party when I say this, but there are lots of people that support ideas and they don't quite follow it through. And so I think that Harvey fits that same bill. And it's just indicative of the fact that just because people say or do something on camera or relatively close to it doesn't mean that they actually practice it. So are you criticizing? I would never criticize Harvey Weinstein, even not now. That's ridiculous. I mean, he has helped build my career. Well, there's obviously no chance of sexual assault in your case, Molly. But, you know, is there potentially other room or areas of hypocriticism in Hollywood? Well, of course there is. I mean, it's just rampant in Hollywood. But, well, Mark, you're a bit biased. You hate Hollywood to begin with. So, maybe you, Boris. Boris, what do you think about the entire... I don't actually have opinion. Really, because... sexual assault is something that is going to happen in system of power imbalance. But like Molly and Mike both touch on, but the really most important thing is actually, do you not think that this is something that is very hard to regulate? If people come to you and they say sexual assault occurred, and they do something about it, I know this is very unpopular opinion, but then you do something. But otherwise, if you cannot prove it, it can be detrimental. For Harvey Weinstein, it is something that is very much in his favor. And he is a piece of shit for what he did. But outside of his bubble, there are many people who use this to their advantage and abuse this to their advantage. And this is not good either way. And America must find a way to find a middle ground. That was a rather strange, a compelling argument you made. Anybody else? Do we have any sort of takers as far as making an opinion? Well, I would like to point out the fact that, like, you know, this is not the first time that someone has been a bit facetious. Woodrow Wilson, for example, he is someone who promoted equality amongst people, especially underprivileged individuals as far as nationality was concerned and ethnicity, and yet at the same time, he was heavily racist. Harvey Weinstein follows in the same example. He was a big Democratic donor. He didn't give a single dollar to Republicans. And yet, here he is engaging in sexual assault. It's just absolutely ridiculous.
Well, that is actually, in fact, a bit... Well, hold on a second here. It's not as if Margaret Sanger herself was a holy saint. She was the founder of Planned Parenthood, as I'm sure Molly is well aware of, and honestly is probably getting out her prayer book for. But the point is that Margaret Sanger was also one of the most ardent racists and eugenicists in the country. In fact, she helped start programs to make sure that folks who were of a different color than white were not able to have children. So one would imagine that it's very interesting to see the founder of Planned Parenthood and a feminist civil rights hero to go about trying to make sure that colored babies don't get born. That's a bit interesting, is it not, Miss Molly Poppycock?
Well, that is a bit of a different story. I mean, she's a big feminism and women's rights... It's not a different story. She did exactly the same darn thing. I mean, Woodrow Wilson is a racist. He didn't like black people. But at the same time, he was in 1910. Margaret Sanger was doing this thing until 1960-something or another. I mean, does that not make a bit of a difference? I don't think it makes too much. What about Gandhi? He practiced nonviolence up until his death, his assassination attempt that happened against him. He was very against violence, but he beat the ever-living hell out of his wife. what in the world are you doing? He beat the ever-living hell out of his wife. There are rumors that he was a domestic violence, almost connoisseur. He beat his wife. He didn't like her. Not one bit. Yet, he practiced nonviolence in protest. So, it's okay for him to say the British colonial government is not allowed to be in India through nonviolent protest and starvation. Yet, it's okay for him to run his house by laying a hand on his wife. I never once said that that ever happened. Well, what about Ronald Reagan, for example, Mr. Mike Frazier? What about the fact that Ronald Reagan was anti-government, anti-big government, and at the same time that he cut regulations, he regulated certain parts of our economy more so than ever before? What about the fact that moral society became another regulatory point? What about the fact that he restricted certain aspects of social justice and rights issues? Well, I don't really pay much mind to any of that. Well, the point is here, maybe, just maybe. William, if I can interject, my big issue with this whole argument is that this entire thing is not about the Weinstein or the sexual assault. This is about who can be hypocrite and who cannot be hypocrite. And actually, what I listen to is that if you like Democrats, you are willing to accept things that most people will not. So, for example, Bill Clinton is, receiving sexual favor from Secretary in White House. In White House. And this is the party of women. He has very strong wife, very public figure, and yet he is receiving sexual favor from woman. This makes no sense. And yet, on the same token, the right side is saying that they are for free government, free limitations, everything. And yet, at the same time, they regulate your social life to the point where they say, if you would like to rescind mistake you make, you cannot do it. What sort of mistake? I'm talking about abortion, William. Abortion is something that is very difficult for Americans to grasp, but in actuality, it comes down to, can you live with yourself for performing procedure and proceeding with procedure? If doctor will do it and patient will do it, it should be done. That's a very interesting way to look at it. Actually, I also like to make comment about Gandhi. Of course, you can do that. No one here has ever restricted you, Boris. You're actually a fan favorite. My point is just that, yes, he was very nonviolent, was very influential, just like many other leaders. And he had issues. But point is not that the leader did not have issue. The point is, did the leader make impact that was important? So, I listened to Woodrow Wilson, but he started idea of League of Nations, which United Nations is almost useless, but it became this. Ronald Reagan started idea of maybe, just maybe, government is not there to force your hand, but to give you a hand. And if not give you a hand, then Christ, give you push. Margaret Sanger is someone who is not necessarily pro every baby, but maybe, just maybe, she is someone who says, I do not want someone to have baby if they do not want it. You don't have to see Margaret Sanger's reasoning for making sure minority baby is killed. You just need to understand that if she wants to promote certain rights, it's okay. And with Gandhi, I think America and England is very biased. He was simply trying to fight big colonial power. He's not perfect. No one says he's God. Nobody. Except you. So, this is my point. That was a rather tacit
rundown of our people and our arguments. Apparently, we have the fact that on the Harvey Weinstein case, that we didn't touch much on, it appears that everyone agrees that it was disgusting, and that it shouldn't happen anymore. And I guess the real question of the audience is going forward, how can it not happen again? There are no more commercial breaks. There are no more segments. And we do thank you for listening to our show. And we do bid you the top of the morning news. And of course, the rest of the day to you. Thank you. I am William Broadstone. And we have our correspondents. Mark Frazier. Yes, thank you again, Will, for having me. We have Molly Puppercock.
It has been something close to a pleasure.
We have Boris Slavlov. It is actually not been as bad as usual. And of course, our producer Mel Fingerberg, who has been a bit more quiet than usual this last segment.
Thanks for letting me be on the show, man.
He's being facetious. It's apparently his show, as you already said from the beginning. But thank you again, and we'll tune in next week.
Top of the Morning News is hosted by William Bradstone. It's produced by Mel Finkenberg. All the opinions of the people on this show are their opinions.